After the engineer outlined her plan to reach the bridge, the Science Gorn considered several ways to deal with the remaining intruders. Upon reflection, he concluded that the simplest method was most likely to be the best. Working quickly but not hurriedly, he took a moment to use his officer's override on one of the ship's larger boarding lockers, and from there a brief visit to his own quarters to retrieve a few specialized pieces of equipment. While he did so, he considered the merits of trying to release some of the crew, or perhaps Weapons Officer Vokan, but since there was no way to guarantee their loyalties, it seemed best to let them remain locked down. There would be time to deal with that once the immediate problem was solved. A glance at his cron indicated that the engineer should be en route to the bridge by now. If her unusual choice of route was successful, he had perhaps 5 minutes before the boarders realized something was afoot and tried to get up there themselves. Sufficient. Moving along the side passage from the crew quarters toward the bridge, he listened carefully, and a few moments was rewarded by the sound of heavily booted feet running toward the central companionway, likely due to the engineer dispatching the boarder who had been sent to secure Deck 6. The Science Gorn waited until the footfalls had faded entirely, then rounded the corner. Reaching the point where the main hull's corridors converged at the base of the ship's neck, he removed a set of small field emitters from his combat utility kit, activated the molecular grapples at the base of the blocky modules, and clamped them to the bulkhead frames. Once prepared, he opened his tricorder, initialized the emitters for action, and waited. The Science Gorn had to admit he was impressed with the speed at which the boarding party returned. They moved faster than even his worst-case estimate, which spoke well to their experience and training. Even with that, however, they clearly had not expected to find a massive Gorn blocking their path, casually holding a rotary assault disruptor at his side.
"Gentlemen, welcome aboard the Hot Chop. I am the second officer."
As he spoke, the Science Gorn casually pressed a button at his waist, and suddenly the emitters sprang into life, releasing a powerful subsonic blast that staggered the Clavarites back, followed by a sustained electrogravitic charge that dragged at their armor and weapons, forcing them to move against the strain of 3 times their standard gravity.
"I believe you have business with the battle engineer," the Gorn went conversationally on. "But unfortunately, she and the captain are conducting some urgent ship's business at the moment and cannot be disturbed."
With a jagged, Gornish smile, he tightened his grip on the disruptor minigun, priming its activator and spinning up the emitters with a high-pitched, keening whine.
"The one apologizes for any inconvenience."
His first sweep of disruptor fire caught one of the Clavarites before he could reach cover, overwhelming his already weakened personal shield and sending him flying back in a boneless heap. Hissing, the Gorn pulled back behind the bulkhead frame as the 2 other boarders reached cover. Another blast from the minigun kept their heads down, but it wasn't likely to hold them. He was well suited for defending the accessway to the bridge, but there was still a risk of a flanking attack.
"Therefore," he mused, "it would be best to limit their options."
Pulling his tricorder from his belt, he quickly reconfigured the central and port passage emitters. Instead of gravity waves, they now began releasing a high-frequency pulse that superheated the air around them, essentially forming a barrier of heat that made them all but impassable. An attacker might be able to force through with his armor, but any equipment he carried, to say nothing of the Klingon within, would be badly overheated by the attempt. The Science Gorn positioned himself with a good field of fire on the starboard passage and maintained his guard. Commander Jurdak was so stunned to see the Lontai Clavar suddenly walk out of the portside access corridor that he momentarily failed to react at all. As far as he had ever cared, the only thing down that corridor was the head,
the door to which was in the forward bulkhead at the end of the hall. Of the branch that went aft and disappeared in a curve behind the portside officer's stations, he neither knew nor cared a thing. That was for the mechanics to concern themselves with.
"Jerdak, son of Rotek," said the diminutive half-breed in a voice like a whip-crack. "I am Battle Engineer Belana Sutai O'Brien. As the senior surviving lieutenant of the Khwatchat, I serve Supreme Chancellor Krojar, and I stand for the crew."
She pointed straight at him with the index finger of her left hand, which was surrounded by a strange array of glowing orange holo displays, and went on harshly, "You are a traitor to your country and a murderer. I call you coward." Raising the gleaming blade in her right hand, she concluded in a cold snarl, "Stand and fight." His wits finally catching up with his shock, Jerdak bolted to his feet, yanking his disruptor from his belt. Before he could level it and fire, the engineer made a sharp gesture with her hologram-covered left hand. The hollows turned an angry red, and Jerdak's disruptor quivered in his hand, then emitted a spray of yellow sparks. Startled, he dropped it, then stared in horror as it lay on the deck, sparking and smoking. Looking up from the disabled weapon, he saw the engineer's holo tool flicker off as she assumed a ready stance with her Doktag. Growling, Jerdak pulled his own from its scabbard, thumbed out its wing blades, and advanced.
"You're going to wish you'd let me shoot you, Kuvaleta," he grated, leering.
Krek was furious as he and Desit, the last surviving members of Red Claw, pushed their way through the gravity bubble and broke down a side passage just before a sudden wave of heat rushed up behind them. This mission was supposed to have been simple. A few minutes of quick, sharp action followed by a silent withdrawal. Instead, this had dragged out into a battle that had somehow cost him more than half his men, and now a Gorn to contend with?
"To Grethor with my orders. When this is done, I will kill that fool Jerdak myself."
Though a seasoned duelist and a student of one of the greatest Klingon blademasters, Belana had little experience of Doktag fighting. It was a style of battle not commonly employed on the dueling floor, since it was geared almost entirely toward killing, something one generally tried to avoid doing in a scholastic dueling environment. The short blade was ill-suited for the task of rose dueling against opponents using full-length weapons. A few practice clashes with Boba Fett, using his twin Mandalorian daggers, was the closest she'd come to real interpersonal combat, as opposed to rote form practice, with this weapon. As she had feared, Commander Jerdak's bulk concealed impressive strength, and he didn't move as poorly as he looked like he ought to. He was also clearly a man who had fought this kind of battle before, probably many times. Within a minute he was puffing like a winded bull, his face purple with a mix of fury and unaccustomed exertion. But Belana wasn't feeling any too fresh herself by that point. It had been a fairly long day before the Klavarite commandos came aboard. Her instincts told her it was going to come down to which of them slipped up first, and, to her distinct dismay, it appeared that would be her. Caught in the corner formed by the science and comms stations, she instinctively opted to block his overhand strike with her own blade, trying to parry instead of evading, which would have worked against Boba, but only because Mandalorian fighting knives didn't have wing blades. Hers and Jerdak's clashed together, entangling their weapons and preventing her from converting the parry into a riposte that would force him out of position, as had been her intent. For a few moments they remained locked together, teeth gritted, but it was a contest of strength that there was no way for Belana to win. After 5 agonizing seconds, Jerdak finally managed enough leverage to twist his blade back along the guard of her Doktag, sending it clattering away somewhere behind the navigator's station. A partial win for Belana,
since in causing him to do so she had at least prevented him from stabbing her in the face for the moment. His own face twisted into a leer of triumph as she reflexively rolled back to avoid his follow-up strike, only to be brought up short as she backed into the communications station, pinning her against it before she could duck safely out of his reach. Clamping a hand on her throat, Jerdak waved his blade in front of her eyes as he attempted to intimidate her one last time.
"You gave a better accounting than I ever expected, Cuvaletta," he growled. "But your little show of defiance is done. The Emperor wanted you alive, but bad things happen when little girls don't remember their place." Baring his teeth, he said with satisfaction, "You are no warrior."
Red was seeping into B'Elanna's vision as Jerdak spat some other nonsense at her, but she wasn't listening. A mix of adrenaline, oxygen deprivation, and rage sparked inside of her, and with it came the sudden sunburst knowledge of exactly what she had to do. At her side, her left fist clenched, the fingers pressing against her palm in a particular pattern. Her omni-tool suddenly sprang back to active mode with a surge of orange light. Then the holo panels changed color from orange to a deep, threatening red as they coalesced into a ring around her left hand. Drawing back as much as she could, she rammed her fist straight into Jerdak's side with all the strength she could muster. The construct of hard light shaped itself into a brutal spike just before contact, punching through armor plate and reinforced leather to reach the soft flesh beneath. Commander Jerdak stiffened, then staggered backward, his hand going to his side reflexively as bright violet blood seeped from the wound. Straightening up, B'Elanna resisted the urge to cough as air rushed back into her lungs, then stepped into Jerdak's reach as he tried, futilely, to stanch the bleeding. Her free hand clamped down on his shoulder like a vice, pushing him back and up so that she could lock eyes with the startled traitor. "I am worse than a warrior," B'Elanna snarled. Her eyes burning with fury, she held him with that terrible gaze like a cobra, the force of her will alone freezing him in place as she went on. "I'm an engineer, you petak." Her arm came back again, the omni-blade gleaming in the dim lighting, and she felt the collision all the way to her shoulder as she slammed it up and under the decorative plastron of his armor, stabbing straight through the central chambers of his heart. Blood gushed up from his mouth, splashing over both their uniforms, and she stepped back, withdrawing the blood-smeared virtual blade. Jerdak's body slumped lifelessly to the deck, and B'Elanna staggered slightly, catching herself against the console deliberately this time as she took a moment to steady herself. At her side, her left hand went slack, the fist relaxing, and her arm hung straight down. As her omni-tool fell back into standby mode and its hard light UI derezzed, its coating of Jerdak's blood, suddenly clinging to nothing, fell away, splattering to the deck plates. B'Elanna ignored it and pressed a key on the comm console.
"Science Gorn," she said, her voice hoarse. "Report."
There was a brief pause. Then the voice of the Science Gorn, sounding perfectly calm as always, replied,
"Main corridor secured, Captain. 3 attackers eliminated."
B'Elanna blinked.
"Captain? Unless you're speaking to me from Stovo Kor, that much is obvious," said the Science Gorn dryly. "Point," conceded B'Elanna.
She leaned there for a moment, catching her breath, and then went on.
"All right, I'm repressurizing the corridor. Get up here. We're not out of this yet. Action."
A few moments before, Central Companionway, Deck 5. It wasn't long before the Science Gorn could hear someone approaching. Squaring up and priming the minigun again, he braced himself and prepared to fire.
A moment later, a single commando rolled from cover into the open corridor, firing blasts from his disruptor rifle that singed the air just past the Gorn's head. His return fire was more accurate, walking the burst of disruptor fire along the deck and through the Clavarite's prone torso, until he had clearly been stilled. Turning as he moved to return to cover, however, he was shocked to see that the commando's blasts had been accurate. They simply had not been aimed at him. The field emitters covering the port corridor had been slagged by the well-placed shots, and the final commando was rushing toward him up that side passage, shoulder down for a well-placed body check. Unable to brace himself for the impact, the Gorn lost his grip on the minigun in the collision. The impact sent him stumbling back, scrambling for balance. Drawing his Doktag, the Clavarite closed, intending to seize the momentary opening, when a sudden bellowed roar of challenge came up from behind him, followed by the form of Lieutenant Vokan, outstretched in a flying tackle. The two Klingons, one in red armor, the other in what seemed to be most of a hastily donned duty uniform, rolled across the deck, wrestling for control of the knife. The Science Gorn recovered his weapon, but couldn't shoot without hitting his shipmate. Before he could move to assist more personally, Vokan managed to knock the blade away, then get astride the Clavarite as he pinned him to the deck.
"For the Union!"
Vokan snarled, slamming his adversary's face against the deck plates. The weapons officer's hands found purchase on the stunned intruder's helmet, wrenching it to the side until there was an audible snap, and his opponent's struggles beneath him suddenly ceased. Throwing back his head, Vokan bellowed out a roar that echoed through the suddenly silent passageways. With that done, Vokan took a moment to collect himself. Then, rising, he spat a thin stream of violet from his mouth, then gave a grim smile as he saluted the Science Gorn. "The one reports for duty, Science Officer. Where is the captain?" The Gorn considered his reply, then saluted in turn.
"The captain is on the bridge, dealing with the last of the enemy. I acted to prevent these," he added with a contemptuous gesture to the fallen Clavarites, "from interfering."
Then, as if recalling that the Klingon was junior to him, he added,
"Report."
"I woke when the ship came out of warp and couldn't get my quarters door or comms to work. After I began hearing disruptor fire..." Here Vokan gestured to the pistol at his belt, its violet, power-depleted light showing.
"I became more aggressive in my attempts to leave."
The Science Gorn gave a brief chuckle, his jaw dropping open slightly.
"Your assistance was well timed. Wait one."
His hand came up to his ear hole, clearly on the comm, and when he spoke again it was not to the weapons officer.
"Main corridor secured, Captain. Three attackers eliminated."
Vokan had no idea what the answer was to that, but the Gorn seemed amused, as he continued,
"Unless you're speaking to me from Stovo Kor, that much is obvious."
He listened to another reply, then nodded to his unseen superior.
"Understood. Acting."
The Gorn turned, then began heading forward at a brisk pace.
"The captain has control of the ship and is repressurizing the access way."
As he said it, the door ahead of them opened onto the neck corridor, which was no longer vented.
"We must report immediately."
Vokan fell into step as they moved up the now accessible passageway.
"The one I killed was the last intruder?"
"Yes. We eliminated two others earlier."
"Bold," said the weapons officer approvingly. "How did they gain access to the ship?"
"A small shuttle. It is still docked near the engineer's quarters. It appears she was their objective."
Vokan grunted, taking that on board without comment.
Then his brows knit with a thought and perhaps a bit of confusion.
Where are Caridus and Clamach?
Dead.
The Gorn looked back over his shoulder.
It would seem that you may regain your position as third lieutenant after all,
he added dryly.
But if the engineer was their objective...
Vokan began to object, trying to figure out what the reptile was on about, when they reached the entrance to the bridge. The power door snapped open, and to his surprise the person standing there to greet them was not Commander Jurdak, but the little half-breed female. Battle Engineer O'Brien looked as if she'd just been through a fight every bit as furious as the one the Science Gorn and Vokan had just concluded. She was battered, visibly bruised, and her strange red human blood smeared one of her cheeks from a cut below one eye. The rest of the blood, liberally spattered down the front of her damaged duty uniform, was Klingon violet, plainly not her own. The Science Gorn came up beside Vokan as he stood frozen in shock, clearly struggling to grasp what he was seeing, and saluted her.
Kai Kasai, Captain,
the Gorn intoned, inclining his massive Saurian head.
The one stands ready to serve.
Belana nodded, then turned to look at Vokan. Any objections he might have raised died in his throat as he saw the hard, cold look in her eyes, and the heap of meat that had once been Jurdak, stretched out on the deck in a welter of blood before the comms station. Belana stared hard at Vokan for a long moment, then laid things out as concisely as she could. Weapons Officer Vokan, Commander Jurdak betrayed our ship to House Clavar, killed two of our fellow officers, and was prepared to leave the rest of you for dead and flee to Kronos in exchange for my capture. I stood for the crew to eliminate him. I claim the command of this ship by right of challenge. Her eyes blazed as she looked straight into his. So, are we going to have a problem? The Science Gorn took a quiet half-step back, ready to deal with Jurdak's former protégé if needed, but after a moment Vokan shook his head.
We have no problem, Captain, said the weapons officer. Kai, Klingon, the one stands ready to serve.
Belana gazed at him for a moment longer, then nodded.
Thank you, Lieutenant.
Cracking a faint, wry shell of a smile, she added, Honestly, I've had a long enough day as it is. Then, gathering herself together with a visible exercise of will, she went on, Let's get the rest of the crew together and figure out our next move. Friday, April 23rd, 2410. Klingon Defense Force 7th Fleet Headquarters Squadron. Klingjai System, Klingon Union. Officers and enlisted alike snapped to attention as Zarg Thalek strode onto the bridge of his flagship, the Pujbe'er.
Report!
Kratak turned to him from the flag lieutenant's station, a slight scowl on his face. Picket sensors reported two new contacts at the system perimeter, with an origin vector out of Klavarite space. The larger ship appears to be Kata'inga class, identification unknown, with a Koloth class escort. The Bird of Prey's configuration matches the Hwacha. With an arched eyebrow, he added for effect, Jurdak's ship. Zarg said merely,
Interesting. Any response to an IFF query?
No, my lord. His IFF is dark, but weapons appear powered down, and only his navigational deflectors are engaged. He cut all drive power once it was clear he had been detected. Zarg frowned, sitting down in the center seat before snapping a command to the helm.
Intercept course, best speed. Lock forward disruptors, but do not energize. Action!
Acting!
As the bridge crew bent to their task, the deck beneath Zarg's feet thrummed with power,
as the Camarag-class battlecruiser accelerated to meet the intruder.
"My lord," Zarg's signals officer barked. "Signal from the unknown ship."
Zarg stood, Kratak falling in at his left, then nodded to the communications station.
"On viewer."
To his surprise, the woman sitting in the center seat of the D-7's bridge was no Clavarite. Far, far from it. Flanked by a massive Gorn on one side and a male human, no, by Kalis, an augment gene mod, dressed in an archaic Imperial Navy uniform at the other, she was very young and rather small to be in such a position, and yet she inhabited it with an easy, almost insouciant confidence. Clearly she, at least, was satisfied that she had earned the right to sit there.
"General Thalak," said the woman, rising to salute him. "I am O'Brien of the Hwatcha, and this ship is my prize. I present to you the battlecruiser D-7M-3C-509, X Fist of Clavar, lately wrested from the usurper's cowardly claws. I have stripped him of the unworthy name they imposed upon him and christened him Retaliator. Request clearance to report to Klinjai Prime for repair, refit, and debriefing." Momentarily surprised into silence, Zarg blinked as he processed that information, then nodded, keeping his face neutral only with a supreme effort of will.
"I look forward to your report, Captain. Match speed and heading to our own. We will return to the fleet shipyards to have your prize repaired. Action!"
Baylana saluted gravely.
"Acting. Nodwi out."
The viewer switched back to a view of the stars. As the ship turned for home port, Zarg had just settled back into his chair when Kratak turned, just the hint of a smile on his face.
"My lord," said Kratak in a low voice. "The one respectfully reminds you that you owe him 500 credits. Action."
Zarg attempted to give his adjutant a scathing look, but it failed in moments as he finally set loose the laughter he'd been restraining for the last several minutes.
"Acting," he replied, reaching for his wallet.
Avery Productions Unlimited presented Undocumented Features Future Imperfect, The Order of the Rose, A Duelist Opera, Technical Difficulties.